Praise the Lord.
Well, I agree. And we're going to talk about authority tonight. And we're going to talk about when to speak and when not to speak. And so we're going to start in Luke chapter 20, talking about some tough questions that Jesus asked. Again, like last week, Jesus answered a question with a question in talking to the Pharisees. And so they asked him a question, and rather than go into a long exhortation, which he could have based on the knowledge that he had and based on who he was and, you know, based on the question that they asked, he didn't. He asked them a question in return. So let's read it, and then we'll talk about it. Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, 'Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?' But he answered and said to them, 'I will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?'" So Jesus completely changes the subject, which is interesting to me. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet.' So they answered that they didn't know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" You can be seated. So they came to Jesus and basically said, "Defend your authority. Who gave you this authority to do these things?" Look, if you put up the first PowerPoint, Jacob, this is what the word authority that they spoke to Jesus, this is what the word is in the Greek. Places in the New Testament, it's also translated power. But it means privilege, ability, force, mastery, superhuman, potentate, take token of control, delegated influence, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. So they said, what right, what authority, what jurisdiction, what ability do you have to do the things that you're doing? Now, we know Jesus knew who he was. He knew where his authority came from. And so it seems to me like it was a pretty easy answer for Jesus. But sometimes what seems like the obvious answer in the flesh is the wrong way to answer. And Jesus only spoke what his Father told him to say. So he was very careful with his words. He didn't just speak everything. He didn't answer in the flesh, even though he probably knew a lot of the answers in the flesh. His speech was submitted to his Father. And look in John chapter 12, verse 48 through 50. And actually, if you look in the book of John, Jesus had a lot of conversations with the Pharisees, with people, and in John chapter 5 and John chapter 6 and John chapter 8 and John chapter 12, he would go into long discourses at time. You know, well, what looks like a long discourse probably wasn't as long, but, you know, he said a lot of things in those chapters. But here, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. For I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus was the perfect example of James 1:19. Which, if you put that verse up, James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." I believe he always had his ears open to what God would have him to say. Will you put up the third PowerPoint? Just skip over the second one and put up the third. Jesus was slow to speak at times. Why? Sometimes, in fact, when they came and questioned him in John chapter 8 about the woman that was caught in adultery, he didn't jump up and start defending. He was writing in the sand. Why? Because I believe maybe he was waiting to hear what the Father would have him to say. Maybe he was just waiting because God said, "Wait, don't speak yet." Maybe God was telling him what to write in the sand, and he was writing in the sand. I don't know, but I know I believe Jesus always had his ears open to how the Father would have him to respond. And this is how we need to live as Christians. If we would learn to have our ears always tuned in to the Father, God, how would you have me to respond in this situation? And the way that we do that is we learn to be more tuned in with Him than we are tuned into our circumstances. Now, this is easy to talk about, but when you are in a discussion, in a heated argument, even if it is a good thing, like you are just trying to speak truth to people, you're trying to help them understand what they need to understand, it's a lot harder, you know, to be focused, but we can learn how to do that. If we would learn to listen to the Father, He would lead us in our conversations and save us a lot of drama. Now, also, I believe sometimes Jesus probably knew ahead of time, because sometimes God will show us in our prayer time how we're to respond later in the day. He'll give us, God can show you what is going to happen in a situation and how to respond ahead of time. And that is one of the beauties of spending time with the Lord and letting Him show us how to respond and teach us what He would have us to say and how He would have us to talk to people. It's interesting, though, here, Jesus refused to defend Himself. He did not respond based on accusations and just go into a line of defense about who He was and, you know, why He had the authority to do that, even though He could have answered their question. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is defend yourself. And that's very strange. Especially if you know how and you know what to say and you know you have the right answer and you know you could win the argument. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is defend yourself. We need to learn from Jesus how to submit our responses to God. We have to humble ourselves and admit that we might not handle everything always the right way and that we need His wisdom. And listen, most of us use our words to accomplish quite a bit. That's why it's so important that our mouth is submitted to God the Father, because it will transform our life if we will submit this one area, this one member of our body, if we will submit it to God. But we also need to renew our mind. We need our heart to be pure so that what is coming out of our mouth is coming from a pure heart, because the Bible says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So if we allow all this ugliness in our heart and in our mind, and then we try to control our tongue, listen, it's going to come out. So we have to deal with what's in our heart and our mind, and God, the Holy Spirit, will show us. He will do that. So sometimes also we want to keep a conversation going that God knows needs to end. See, here, Jesus changed the subject. He didn't keep it going. Like I said, although I believe He could have went into a long discourse of all of the Old Testament scriptures that proved who He was and why He had the authority to do what He did. But it wasn't the time for that. And we need to make sure that we don't keep a conversation that God is going, that's not even for now. We're not doing that right now. You know, sometimes we are running at the mouth and God was way back here. We need to go back to where God was and, you know, and hush sometimes. And so sometimes we keep a conversation going just because we feel the need to just say it. No, but you don't understand. I have to get this off my chest. Go to your prayer closet and say it to God. I'm telling you, He is a very good listener and a very good counselor and a very good psychologist and a very good one to walk you through all of that stuff. And you can bear your soul to Him. And the only people that He will ever tell is somebody that He will tell to pray for you or to encourage you or to lift you up. He is just a wonderful counselor. And so if we feel the need that we have to say things, but God is telling us to hush, take it to the Lord and say it to Him. Or we keep a conversation going because we have so many good points to make. No, but you don't understand. Like, I have so much truth that I need to share right now. And I have so many points, like, listed in alphabetical order as to why you need to understand my point of view. But listen, we just need to listen. That's why the scripture that we read in James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear. Let every person, that man is human. Let every human be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I think if we would be slow to speak, sometimes we would help other people be slow to get angry. Sometimes we help people get angry quicker because we're not slow to speak. So I know because I have done it. Even if we're right, sometimes it's more important to be quiet than it is to be right. Jesus was right lots of times, but it amazes me. Even when he was standing before Pilate, it says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He could have said so many things, but he only spoke what the Father told him to say. And listen, that is hard. It crucifies the flesh to not speak what we want to say when we want to say it. But it is so good for us, and it is submission, and it is trust. And we have to decide. Our goal shouldn't be to give our best answer, but his best answer. Because his best answer is not only the right words, but it's in the right time and with the right motive. And sometimes we might say the right thing, but with the wrong motive and at the wrong time. And we can do damage, even speaking truth, if we speak it the wrong way, at the wrong time, with the wrong motive. So we have to be careful. We need to spend time with him and read his word and learn how he answered. This is what's so amazing, is that if we will read the word and if we will spend time with God, he will bring those reminders up to us when we need it. He will remind us, be quick to hear. Shannon, be slow to speak right now. Be slow to get angry. Love covers a multitude of sins. He will remind me, love is patient. Love is kind. Love, you know, he will remind me to forgive. All of those things that he will remind us. The truth is, God Almighty knew that the people that Jesus was talking to in that moment, I don't believe they would have received it had he gone into a discourse in all of the Old Testament. Because the truth is, our words, people receive revelation because God the Father gives them revelation. Rick talked about that this morning. Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." Because ultimately, yes, God uses us and he allows us to be a part of the process. But it is not our human words of wisdom that change people. Unless those words are led by the Lord, led by revelation, spoken in his timing with his anointing. But a word in due season, the Bible says how good it is. And so if we choose to speak the right, you can speak one sentence and it can speak more than an hour's worth of talking. So we have to be submitted to the Lord. Now, we could spend a long time arguing truth without God's help and end up showing off our knowledge without changing the person that we're arguing with at all. There is a place, though, I want to balance this. There is a place for disputing and persuading. In Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, I want to show you this. And this is Paul. And it says, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Paul sought to show people the truth because he had such a burden to see people saved. But when the people were hardened and they didn't believe, he didn't just keep going. He withdrew and taught the disciples. And it says, as he continued to be obedient to the Lord, it says all of those in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. We cannot decide whether or not people will accept the truth that we're speaking, whether that is to our friends, to our neighbors, to somebody at church, to our, you know, husband or wife, to our children. We can speak truth, but God is the one who reveals. Now, it's like with our young children, it's our job to train them and to teach them. But I pray, because I know that it's not just my words. I need God the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts and bring understanding to the things that we're saying. So, we need to remember Proverbs 18:21. Will you put up Proverbs 18:21? And a lot of you have probably heard this and know this, but it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, the great thing and the amazing thing to me is that God is merciful. Even when we say it wrong, even when we say something at the wrong time, we can pray and ask God for mercy. I have done it. I have said something not that long ago. I said something, and as soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought that was the wrong time. Even if it was the right thing, it was the wrong time that I said it. And I just repented. I said, God, would you just cover me? Would you just forgive me, and would you cover it? And later, I wanted to try to fix it, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, no, you asked me to cover it, now let it be. Because I didn't feel like what I said was wrong. I felt like the timing and the way that I said it in the moment was wrong. But God can work. It is so amazing that if we will invite him into the situation, even when we've made a mistake, and just admit it, that God, I am sorry. What do you want me to do now? Do you want me to apologize? Do you want me, you know, and sometimes that's what we need to do. If we've said the wrong thing, you know, if we said it in a wrong attitude, you know, even if you've said the right thing with the wrong attitude, you can go and say, hey, listen, I just want to apologize because the attitude that I had when I said that was wrong. And God will work with us. So Luke chapter 20, verse 2, I want to end real quick by talking about our authority, because they said to Jesus, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, or who is he who gave you this authority? Jesus, like I said, he did go into more detail in other times, but he didn't defend right now. He didn't rush to prove who he was and where he got his authority because people didn't believe in him. Our authority, we need to remember, our authority as Christians isn't earned by the flesh, but because of who we are in Christ. Our commission is based on his authority that he won because of who he is and because of our relationship with him. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And this is the Great Commission, but notice how he starts off with the Great Commission to his disciples. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, we know from the English language that when it says, like it says, go, therefore, there is a you. It is an understood you speaking to the audience. So here, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. So you go, therefore, and preach the gospel. And so, and make disciples, it says, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So notice here in this Great Commission, it starts with Jesus and his authority. It ends with his presence. So we go in his authority, we walk in his presence, and we do what's in between because of those two things. Our relationship with him gives us authority to do like what Thomas was talking about. And sometimes, like Janine was talking about this morning, we don't walk in the authority, but Jesus, that's not because Jesus hasn't paid for it. It's just because we're too distracted dealing with other things. Our authority is not based on our abilities or our wisdom, but on who we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, on the authority we have because of relationship with him. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read 1 through 10, and we're going to wrap this up. Okay. Write down what version I have it in. I think I put it in the New Living Translation. Okay, once you were dead, yes, because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Notice that verse, verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. That is why we are victors. That's why we have victory, because we are seated with Christ far above all principalities and powers, far above what the enemy can do. Jesus won victory at the cross. So we have to keep that in mind to remember that we have authority over the enemy, over the flesh, over the devil. So, verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I want to read you actually just verse 7 through 10 in the message. And I like the message, but it's so far out for me sometimes that I just go, okay, you know, but I just want to read these verses. Verse 7 to 10 says, now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving us is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. So who we are, what we are able to do, how we are able to overcome is all because of the authority Jesus won on the cross. So we fight. If you have seen this movie, she makes this declaration after she learns to get into the prayer closet. Because the truth is, you can resist the devil all day long, but if you have not submitted to God, which is the first part of that verse, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We have to submit our lives to God Almighty. And as we recognize in our time spent with him, how awesome and how able and how faithful and how worthy he is, then we realize the devil is defeated. And usually when we get our eyes on the circumstances, it's because we're just feeding ourselves with stuff instead of feeding ourselves with him. And listen, I'm not saying that it's not easy to do, because it is. And we are fighting often on different fronts, you know, maybe than what she's fighting. But it is a war that we are living in. And the enemy is working to steal everything that Jesus paid for from us. He doesn't have the right to do it, but if we give it to him, and we don't choose to stand in what Jesus paid for, then we walk in less victory than Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And so our authority comes through relationship with Jesus. And the sooner that we focus on that relationship and we find ourselves in him and we know that we are loved by the Father, not because of our works, not because we always have it all together, not because we do everything right every time, but because of who he is. And as we focus more on that relationship, this is the amazing part. It enables us to get over those things that are keeping us. As we focus on relationship with him, it enables us to say no to sin. It enables us to become victors because we are just so focused on him. He really is the answer to every problem, to every situation. And so I challenge you, do not spend your time focused on the problem. Focus your attention on him and then ask him, God, what would you have me to do about this? Knowing that he knows, like we said, like I shared a couple of weeks ago, when the missionary and his wife were just facing starvation, had no money. And so they just set aside a night of prayer. But after 20 minutes, they had said everything they knew to say. And they didn't see any point of just reiterating to God, who already knew everything that they had said. But because of their dedication and their faith in God, they knew that he heard them. And so they just left it with God at that point. And God provided supernaturally, because that's who he is. He is the victor, and we have the victory. Feelings may lie to us, but he reminds us of the truth. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, God, for who you are and the authority and the victory that you paid for us to walk in. Help us to walk in it this week. In Jesus' name, amen.